Aloha, this is Michael McIntosh. So excited to be here answering your questions for the Genesis training. I'm out here overlooking the beautiful river and in the Hawaiian rain. You might be able to hear the birds. So let's get to it, shall we? First question is about work. Do you have any tips on how to deal with loved ones and co-workers who don't get it? I understand they're on their own path, but it's difficult to watch people who have no concept of their own inner world. How can I better make peace with that? This is a great question, and I'm sure everyone on the path comes across this on some level, because when you change and your inner world changes and you start seeing things differently, and then you go and spend time with people who are just on a different level and just don't get where you're coming from, there's a massive disconnect between you, where you're at, what you believe, and them. And it can be awkward because, you try and say something and they don't get it, and then they say something and you don't quite want to respond and go along with it, and it's just this whole weird situation. So I totally understand what you mean. First thing to do about this is to realize that this is a really deep thing, by the way. First thing to realize is that we're watching a movie. On a deeper level, this is all like a crazy movie that's playing out in consciousness. And the soul, the spirit, the consciousness, the power, the real being isn't the person who is saying all this stuff and caught up. It's like watching a film. It's like a character in a play. They're meant to act the way they are in this particular moment. They're not supposed to do anything else. And it's all a game. And not only that, people who get it are also playing the same game, and we're not the people anyway. Now, this might sound like a little bit abstract, but you'll know what I mean more and more as you think about these things. So, on one level, whatever anyone does in the world doesn't matter that much, because who they really are is something else. Now, that's just one side of the coin, because that doesn't directly deal with the fact that you have to talk to them and engage with people. But just knowing that you're dealing with this beautiful being of love and light behind the character, behind the personality, behind, the conditioning, there is a beautiful being of peace. So just knowing that brings a certain element of wonder and appreciation for them, no matter what they're doing or not doing. So just have that in mind. Like, here, you're not really dealing with a character with an ego. You're really dealing with a spiritual being. And that spiritual being is supposed to be acting the way they are right now in this particular point in time. So that just brings a beautiful perspective onto the whole thing. The other thing you can do is not try and change anyone. I assure you that as soon as you get into arguments with people, as soon as you get into positionality where you're, saying, "Why do you not understand this?" and, trying to make people believe what you're believing, or as soon as you get into any of that, it causes problems. So I recommend you don't try and change anyone at all. That's tempting to try and, bring your opinion on to others, but it normally backfires. Let them ask you questions. You can always turn the conversation around. So that's one thing that we always have power over. If you're talking to somebody, you can say to them things like, "What do you think about what happens when you die?" I mean, I ask people really deep questions. What's the purpose of life? What's really the meaning of your life? Where do you want to be in 20 years? I ask people very direct, deep questions, and they're kind of taken off guard, but they can't just say, "I'm not going to talk to you about that." They have to answer you, so you can swing conversations around, move things about just by asking questions. Because as soon as you ask a question, what you're saying is direct your attention to this. So start thinking of a list of questions that you can just say and just have fun with it. You know, the whole thing is a game. And I recommend you also have in your heart a feeling that everyone will wake up and evolve and become conscious of their true selves and what life's really all about. Just like you have taken time, just like I've taken time, just like all of us had to come to these realizations over time, they're going to have their own realizations in their own time. And the most powerful thing you can do is just be a good example. What you do and how you act and what you don't do, the things that people can witness you doing, the things that people can see you doing. Imagine if you turned all the sound off and you could never talk to anyone and they just watched you. Imagine you're on camera all the time. If your behavior and your attitude and your vibrations are high consciousness and loving, that's going to affect other people in a positive way, and it's going to help them make the shift themselves. So don't worry too much about trying to change them. Don't worry too much about trying to get them to do anything different or anything. Just be a good example. See them as the light that they are and have fun with it by changing the questions. All right, we've got another great question here. As I'm doing the homework and other meditations exercises, I find that I am upset, angry, sad, or just dissatisfied at random times. These emotions seem to have no cause, and I'm confused about them. Does this sound familiar? Is there a best way to understand and work through them? This is a great question. Change means change. Now, this might sound really obvious, but change, you're changing your life by doing this program and by practicing these things. And it means that the person that you used to be, your old version of yourself, is basically dying. And in the process of transformation and rebirth, because in a way the hero's journey is basically a dying and being reborn. You know, if you read Joseph Campbell's work on the hero's journey, it's constantly about this birth and death, death and rebirth. So change means that you basically die to your old self and you are reborn as something else. Now, as that process is happening, you become extremely distressed, understandably. Because on some level, the part of you that you're used to, your old self, the usual ego self, the part of you that is being, you know, reborn, isn't particularly happy about dying and changing all of a sudden. You know, it's very disturbed about it. So randomly, you're going to get these strange feelings. Weird emotions will come up. If there's one thing I can guarantee you, it's that weird emotions and strange situations will arise as you go through your transformation, because all these situations and feelings and triggers are needed. So it's quite possible you'll wake up in a really bad mood, and it's also quite possible you'll wake up in total bliss and you'll be walking down the road and you'll feel like wonderful love and light. You know, so you just don't really know what you're going to get exactly, because it's unpredictable. This is new territory. You're becoming something that didn't exist before, and you don't know really where it's going to lead or what's going to happen. So you're in no man's land, and it's a very weird place to be. So how you deal with it is that you understand that this is a process of birth and rebirth, death and rebirth, you know, death and birth, dying and being reborn, reignited, refreshed. You're coming back. You're kind of letting go of what no longer serves you, and you're returning back to your original essence. And along the way, you're definitely going to be triggered, and you're definitely going to have drama. Anyone who thinks they're never going to get drama and triggers is in for a shock. So just accept the fact that it's going to come up, and it gets a lot easier. Once you accept, wholeheartedly that you're going to go through process of boredom, of anger, of stress, of frustration, and all these negative emotions as you change. Once you accept that, you can start to feel light about it. It actually becomes funny. So you can watch yourself and go, "Oh my God, I never used to get angry like this. I never used to get, so dissatisfied." But it's passing. Just understand, this isn't like you're not getting worse. This isn't like a permanent downward spiral. This is an upward spiral, and what's happening is you're kind of releasing the gunk. It's like you're cleaning off all the mud and all the sticky, nasty stuff that's been stuck to you. And as you clean it out, it's like doing a cleanse, as you do a physical cleanse, you start, excreting things and sweating stuff out, and it's just nasty, it's unpleasant. But then you feel really fresh and light afterwards. You might have headaches, and then they go away, and you feel really clear. So just understand, it's part of the detox. And when you know that, it becomes easier to deal with it. Just the knowledge that this will pass, and this is part of a bigger process. Just knowing that in itself is invaluable, It's going to save you a huge amount of drama just by feeling the fact that it's going to pass and it's all part of the process. I think the best piece of advice I ever received from anyone in my life was from a yogi sister who I met in England, who's, I can't even remember where she's from, but she's a super powerful soul. And she said to me, "If you can learn how to be at peace with everything, with the ups and with the downs, then you have attained complete freedom. If you can be at peace with the ups and the downs, when you're happy and when you're sad, if you can enjoy all of it, then you're finally free." So think about that, and just when you're in the downs, when you're going down the hill and everything looks like it's a mess, if you can still enjoy the mess, then you have cracked the code on the game of life. So tune into this, because it is possible to do it. I've had loads of experiences where I've been in the lows and in the downs, and I've remembered this, and it's woken me up, and I've been like, you know what, even though I feel totally bored and weird right now, and or angry or whatever, I accept it and I'm all right with it. And it's actually spun around and become this amazingly joyful experience a few seconds later. So we need to accept and be okay with the process. Hope that helps. And it's a deep thing. You need to think about this and start experiencing it and practicing it. It'll happen over time. All right, we've got another awesome question here. "I've noticed the more I practice meditation or heart-centered focus and coherence, the more things begin to illuminate slowly but surely. However, I've noticed that when I stop or simply forget, a sort of vacuum effect happens with the negative re-emerging. If I meditate for a couple of days and then take a day or two and forget, it seems as if I get challenged for the negative side. Is this normal? Am I making myself clear?" This is a great question. What's happening essentially is that when you meditate and you expand your consciousness, you're accumulating fortune, eternal fortune, power. You're elevating your level of consciousness. You're going to higher levels of being. And there's such wonderful bliss and sense of freedom in those higher states. It's like you've moved your glass ceiling. We all have this glass ceiling that we kind of stay stuck at. You're shifting it up, and it's as if going up to a higher place where you look down and everything seems much easier to deal with and more wonderful. But then, if you don't maintain, sustain that state, then you come back down to where you were. And going back down, not only do you go down to where you were, but it goes below that, because we need to basically keep ascending. And every single moment, we're either going up or we're going down. We're never staying neutral. You can never stay in one place. You're either going up the mountain or you're going down the mountain, essentially, in consciousness. So you go up the mountain, and then if you just stand there, you'll kind of slide back down. And then when you're there, you know, you're slidden around a bit, probably fallen over a few times, and then you're like, oh god, what the hell am I doing over here? And you have to get back up and carry on walking up back up the mountain. So one of the sort of dangerous sides, or you know, the unspoken side of you know, changing your life and ascension and spiritual upgrades and creating the wonder and the bliss and the abundance and everything you want, one of the unspoken downsides is that you have to sustain it. You can't just have one and then go back to the old and then go back to the new and go back to the old, because it creates this massive divide that splits you into pieces and creates all this drama. So you need to get all of yourself on board and keep going for it over and over again, because once you start, it's kind of like you have to keep it moving. And that's something that a lot of people don't realize. They think that they can just dip their toe in, get a bit of an upgrade, and then carry on the way they were. It doesn't work that way. Keep doing it. So my recommendation essentially is, rather than doing meditation and stopping for a few days and then having this conflict and then going back and then stopping, just keep doing it. Make it a daily practice. Make it your biggest mission is to be in this higher state of consciousness. Because the more you feel that, the easier everything else gets in your life. If you give it 100%, it's easy. But if you allow yourself, oh, it doesn't matter, on the weekends I can be slack, on the, you know, during the day it does, and you have all these excuses, it's a bit of a hassle. So it's a lot easier if you say, I commit to my spiritual journey, I commit to my personal evolution, and I'm going to do it. That's really essential, that you make that shift inside yourself. Got a question here on cannabis and plant medicines. I've seen your video on cannabis and really valued those insights and perspectives. What's your take on the world of other plant medicines, specifically ayahuasca? Any experiences you'd be willing to share? So Nick has recently been in Peru doing all sorts of medicines, plant medicines, and I'm sure he would share his experiences on that more with you. From my personal perspective, I have done lots of different drugs, including plant medicines and, you know, more things like LSD, loads of different drugs. When I was younger, you know, when I was a teenager, I was heavily inspired, shall I say, to consume mind-altering substances, specifically psychedelic substances, because something magical happens when you open the portal up and allow your brain to see more. The benefit of drugs, there's like a benefit and a downside of any of these substances from my perspective. Benefit is that what drugs do, and this is the same with alcohol and caffeine to some degree, but specifically plant medicines, what they do is they temporarily disable the ego. That's really all they do. David Hawkins talks about this in great length. So to an addict, someone who is addicted to drugs like I used to be, the reason that people get addicted to drugs is essentially because it removes the negativity temporarily. And once you remove the negativity, you see and experience the light of consciousness that you already are anyway. And that's just such a beautiful experience that it becomes highly addictive, and the drug then represents access to God. So people who are addicted to drugs, or even I think anyone who is inspired to take drugs even, it's because it gives access to a higher consciousness. So the benefit is that you can disable the ego, see things from a higher place, and have access to this higher state. The downside is that it can easily become addictive. And ultimately, the state that you're accessing is a natural state of consciousness that you can reach without drugs, and it's your natural state of consciousness if you didn't have any negativity. So in a way, it's kind of like imagine having a big pile of mud in your house, and when you take the drugs, somehow that it picks up the mud and takes it out, so you can just enjoy your house without all the mud everywhere. You know, it's not like it's giving you anything extra, it's just cleaning out all the crap. And then when the drug runs out, all the mud comes back in the house again, and you're like, oh God, you know. So the benefit is that it gives you an idea of what it's like to live without all the muddy nonsense. The downside is that if you become addicted to it and you don't learn how to get it without drugs, then it's unsustainable, because really what you want is the state that it gives you. It's not the drugs that we want, it's not the drugs that even give us anything. There's no real power in the drugs. It's just returning to our natural state of consciousness, which is why meditation, 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 surrender, connection to God from the heart, surrendering and experiencing that bliss on tap. That's the real solution, you know. So if you're going to take psychedelic drugs or any kind of drugs, just understand what you're doing is disabling the ego, experiencing what it's like to be without the negativity. But then the most important thing is to practice the spiritual practices that don't require drugs in order for you to attain it naturally. Otherwise, you know, what a lot of people do is ayahuasca or these shamanistic ceremonies become their religion. They need to have the whole thing in order to have the high, and that's limited, because if you can't get the drugs and you can't get the ceremonies and you can't get all the things, you know, you're stuck. So it's great to have the awakening moments, but then it's time to do the real work on yourself afterwards. All right. Wonderful. Next question. After reading and listening to Amazing Grace, I get the sense that there's a new world being prepared for those of us whose intentions and actions are centered in love and peace. Hopefully, this is not a pretentious or the end of Mother Earth. I know nothing is written, however, what insights can you share about this? Now, this is a deep question. I'll answer it like this. There's been many prophecies throughout the ages, and ultimately it comes down to karmic law, the law of karma, the law of dharma, the law of nature. And in essence, whatever is our level of consciousness, whatever we're vibrating at, whatever is our karma, in other words, whatever karma we have created, if we've been truly coming from a place of love and service and freedom from negative influences, and not been acting from the negative impulses, you know, if we're not coming from negative impulses, not coming from greed, from fear, from anger, from like trying to get things, trying to like lust after things, whatever, you know, the usual negative things. If we're not coming from there, we're coming from a place of freedom and love and enlightenment, then our karma is such that we are going to attract a situation for ourselves now and in the future, in other lives, that matches that energy field. On the other hand, if we're coming from a place of addiction, neediness, give me, give me, give me, give me, give me, take, 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 you know, the usual negative things, then guess what? We're gonna be destroyed by our own negativity. So I wouldn't think too much about the world in general. I would point your awareness back to your own life, because that's really what you can change. And just ask yourself, based upon you, where do you want to be? What do you want to attract? If like you were the only person in the world and the world mirrored your state perfectly, what kind of world would it be like? And the more we think like that and enhance our own selves, the more we will attract those situations. And they're going to happen unpredictably, spontaneously in some cases, and there is no specific logic behind it. You know, this isn't something that you can plan out step by step on a Excel spreadsheet or something. These are off the radar forces that we're dealing with. So in other words, don't worry too much about the how part of it. Think more about where are you at, where do you want to be, and what are you going to need to do right now in your life to become the person that you need to be to attract the life that you want. Everyone is going to get what they are. Whatever we are, we're going to get reflected back to us. It's already happening and it's going to carry on happening. So focus on, what do you want to attract? Got another question here. Great question. They're all great questions. What can you offer a lady such as myself who will enter her 60th year in August? Wow, good for you. Who has been awake and aware for most of her life and yet has taken this long to develop the true courage to live as she truly believes. I have become complacent and lazy, but in my heart is true. Anxiety has been my fuel and my ego reacts intensely at times to its being challenged. Birth and death. Every moment we have an opportunity to die and be reborn. And that happens in an instant. When you make a decision and make a commitment to yourself in your heart that from now on, I am going to do things, think things, say things differently. The past is dead. I'm not joking about this, by the way. This birth and death thing, it really is what we're dealing with here. If we carry on giving life to our old self and our old habits and our old thinking and our old patterns and our old addictions and our old nonsense, we're going to keep getting the same things over and over again. So we have to say, I'm willing to let go. I'm willing to release. I'm willing to die to my old self. Doesn't mean you have to do any weird rituals and physically hurt yourself in any way whatsoever. It's an inner death. And to ground it in, I recommend what you do is you essentially sit with yourself, you go out into nature or whatever you like to really be with yourself fully. Get a pen and paper and write down what it would look like for you to live your life with courage. What is this new life to you? How does it feel? What are you doing? How are you being? Write it down. Write down what it means practically, because we want to get away from these abstract ideas and we want to make things practical and real. So what does your higher self do all day long? What does your courageous self say? What does your courageous self eat? What time does your higher self wake up in the morning? When do you go to sleep? What things do you no longer do? Look at as if you're going to start a new life and you're starting now. And you can say, as of tomorrow, I'm starting this new life and I'm going to focus on doing these things. I recommend you pick one thing at a time. I can assure you, I've been experimenting with all sorts of change for years and years and years and years and years, radical things. And I've realized that if I try anything more than one or two things, it just doesn't work. I've often tried to like upgrade five or six things, that this like get up differently, eat differently, do different stuff in the day, spend just like a whole bunch of radical changes all in one go, and it works for about 3 days, and then the ego just has like a massive tantrum and just screws up my life. So I recommend one thing at a time is much more powerful, much more sustainable. Change one thing for 40 days. One thing, and all you do is check, did you do this one thing? So figure out what is the one thing that you need to do differently. Give up something, start something new, replace an old habit with a new habit, and do it for 40 days. As you build the courage to do that, then you can do the next one and the next one and the next one until after a while you've rewritten your life. You've become the new you. You are now changed. So it doesn't matter how old you are, doesn't matter how many times you've been lazy or whatever's happened, it's a new self. It's becoming not me. We need to become not me for us to change. So really think about that, not me. What is this radical, new, different version of you like? And be like that. It's fun. It's a deep thing. So you can make a commitment in your heart, and I recommend checking you did it. Check. I have a, you know, I mean, I start and stop doing this, admittedly. But when I'm really serious about changing, like one thing, I'll have a piece of paper next to my bed, and I'll tick off, did I do that or not? Because the ego is very good at deluding us. So if you can actually choose a new way of being and then tick off whether or not you did it. It literally changes your entire reality. It might sound simple, but this is what it means. This is what it takes. Next question is, do you believe, as I do, that time is actually speeding up? It feels like there is a definite dimensional shift, which, as a dear friend once put it, is asking us to grow up or die. Yes, I do believe, and we do believe that time is speeding up. Time is definitely speeding up. It's speeding up in the sense that time, if you think about what time actually is, if everything stopped moving, if every single thing in the universe ceased to move in any way, no one thought anything. No air moved, no leaves moved, nothing moved anywhere. The clouds stayed where they are. If everything completely stopped, including the planets moving, everything stopped, we would be in an eternal now that would never changed. What makes us calculate time is movement. And things are moving around nowadays so much faster than they ever have. You know, the amount of information moving all over the world all the time. You can, you know, text someone something on the other side of the world, and you can post something on Facebook and it goes viral. Things are moving around everywhere all the time, instantly. And because of all this movement, it's speeding up time. So we do need to change or die. There's just no doubt about it. And, this whole audio really is, that's kind of the theme. Death and rebirth. Who are you going to be born and become? Next question is there a way to release fear or get rid of a fear phobia? Can you get rid of a fear or a phobia? Absolutely. There are many ways to do that. One I'll recommend just specifically about getting rid of fears and phobias is faster EFT. If you go on to Google and type in faster EFT, it's emotional freedom technique that has been very effective. Just a, you know, straight to the point, clear out the emotions around it. And there are people who help you with that specifically. And I'd recommend that you check that out. The other side of it is just as you ascend in your personal growth, you actually start feeling different and looking at life in a new way. So overall, as you raise the bar, as you in a sense die and be reborn, the new you doesn't have any fear. So naturally you're going to let go of fears and phobias. But if you have a particular fear and phobia, go and check out Faster EFT, and it can be just a quick way to go into a particular topic and just let go of it, if it's one of those things that's just re repeating, repeating, repeating. All right, got a question here about losing weight. Do you lose weight when fasting one day a week? I'm not keen to lose any weight as I'm slim enough. Do you have any more information on how people survive without food? Thank you, thank you, thank you. Fasting one day a week, it depends on what you do the rest of the week, how much weight you're going to lose, really. I can't see you necessarily losing a great deal of weight or any weight as long as you are sustainably eating the rest of the time. You may find that fasting maybe one day a month might work better for you rather than once a week, and you can always do a juice fast. Main thing is just to allow your body time to clear out toxins and just give it a break, that's the main thing. And so normally fasting, actually, if you do it in short periods of time, it helps you to let go, clean up, and then assimilate better. So actually it shouldn't make much difference. But obviously if you're not eating very much in general, then you probably would end up losing weight. And when it comes to living on light and all that, Jasmine is a good person to check out about that. One thing I'll mention just from my own personal perspective is that living on light or living on without food isn't necessarily something that you need to focus on. It's more important just to be grounded. Make sure you eat enough, generally speaking, so that you're grounded, and focus on your spiritual power. Because a lot of people can get caught up and trapped in this whole fasting and living on light thing and forget the point of it. Because remember, spirituality doesn't come from food, and it doesn't come from lack of food either. It's a state of consciousness that exists anyway. The point of fasting really is for you to realize that you don't need as much food as you thought, and you don't need as much things as you thought, and that you're still, a living, amazing being without food. But it doesn't mean that you need to be obsessed about how much you're eating and fasting and getting caught up in cleanses and cleanses and cleanses, because then you're missing the point. It's much more powerful to spend more time in meditation and focus on higher consciousness and living the life than it is to worry too much about your food. So just proceed with caution, because I've seen lots of people get caught up in all the fasts and the rituals and the cleanses and completely miss the point, which isn't anything to do with food, So if anything, if you find yourself leaning and start getting obsessed about how much you're eating and food and fasting and cleanses, and all you do is cleanses, you might want to have a look at that. Don't get the feeling that's where you're coming from, but this is just a word of warning for everyone. Great question here, another one. How can we heal ourselves without overloading our bodies with supplements? It seems that like every naturopath or health practitioner I go to wants to put me on loads of vitamins. What are your health protocols like? How do you stay?